Okay, well, my task is an extremely simple, but nevertheless exceedingly pleasurable one, which is to welcome you all to this alumni gathering. As many of you will know, because you're probably invited to it, the university itself holds an alumni gathering every year in the summer. But this is the first German department alumni gathering, and I'd like to welcome in particular former colleagues who have come back to Warwick for it. I'd also like to welcome you, the alumni. You represent all the various Warwick German department generations. Going back to the 70s, the 80s, the 90s, and somewhat laughably called the noughties. Now, in addition to those of you who are here, I've had a lot of emails from people who would love to have come to the event, but couldn't, and nevertheless wrote to us wishing us well and asking to be informed of any future German department events. I have to confess, however, that there's one aspect of this alumni gathering that rather terrifies me, and that's my fading memory. In the course of this afternoon, you'll meet some of my current colleagues, and unfortunately one that isn't here, Sean Allen. He has an amazing facility, which is that he is able to identify and remember the handwriting every single student he's ever taught. But of course, buildings and resources aside, what ultimately makes a successful department are people. That's staff and students. You and us. And as far as our students are concerned, one simple change, and I've said this already to quite a few of you, is that there are an awful lot more students than there were in many of your years at times. And have I forgotten anybody? Oh yes, Godfrey, one of the founding fathers of the German department, along with Richard Hinton Thomas and Keith Bullivant. Godfrey remained in the department throughout the 70s, throughout the 80s, throughout the 90s, until he himself took a well-merited retirement after over 30 years in the German department. But there then began a rather strange ritual. At the end of the summer term, the chair of the department, first Steve, then Erica, would make a speech marking Godfrey's retirement. Only for us to come back the following October, the beginning of the next academic year, to find Godfrey still in situ, still teaching our students as if absolutely nothing had changed. And the simple truth is that Godfrey's association with the German department continued well after he had officially retired, and indeed until he hung up his academic boots, so to speak, in July 2006. But to mark that association, Erica had the great idea of naming the fund that we established to provide postgraduate bursaries the Godfrey Carr Fund. We now come to the Frankfurt Translation Prize. But before I do, I want to also celebrate another prize that predates that one, because the department is fortunate to have two prizes for language competence. And for that reason, I'm particularly delighted to welcome Andrew and Marilyn Russell, who established the Zoe Russell Prize in memory of their daughter, and maybe there's some of you here today who remember Zoe and may even been on the German and business degree that she did. And indeed, there is a lovely symmetry between the Zoe Russell Prize and the Frankfurt Translation Prize. The Zoe Russell Prize is given to the first year student who, at the end of the first year, we think has made the most language progress in language, the most progress. Not necessarily the best student, but the one who has made the most progress. The Frankfurt Prize is awarded to the student who excels in the final year translation examination. And I'm absolutely sure that one day, the winner of the Zoe Russell Prize, 3 years later, will then go on to win the Frankfurt Translation Prize.
But I do want to indulge in a bit of nostalgia. It's ironic that what I'm being asked to do today is basically unveil something that I'm going to hang on a wall in the university, because I used to hang things on walls quite often at university, and they usually got torn down fairly quickly. And one of the last things I hung up was a poster protesting against the introduction of tuition fees for overseas students, because we said the writing is on the wall here. This is a slippery slope. If you start charging fees for overseas students, mark my words, in a few years' time, everybody will have to pay fees. And everybody said, no, rubbish, you're alarmist. And I believe now it costs £3,000 a year to study here. I'm definitely very much in favour of free education and the principles that stand behind that. But there's one disadvantage of free education, and that is that you tend to take it for granted, that you really don't appreciate what you're getting. And certainly that was true when I was a student here. I didn't appreciate the quality of the work that the German department was doing. In fact, I was always moaning about things and complaining. But in fact, it was a great time, and it certainly succeeded in giving most of the students in my year a great lasting love of all things German and Germany and the literature, the culture. As Rob said, it's the people that make the department, and that's something that you actually cannot pay for. Perhaps Jeremy will now tell us a bit more about exactly what it involves and what the winners actually get out of it. So I think I'll just hand over to Jeremy on that one.
As Paul said, this is kind of counterintuitive. We're here to unveil a plaque. One of the things I was taught in the department mainly was never trust things that are written in stone or written on walls. And here is something that does precisely that. It's counterintuitive in another sense as well, because translators are not people that are supposed to be seen in public or heard in public. In fact, the translation prize itself is strange, because a good translator is marked by the fact that nobody knows this person's there. I said, this person usually translates as women. I mean, the two of us are actually not typical of this profession. All the more reason, perhaps, to say something about why this came about, why we decided a translation prize is a good idea. The only translators I can remember really hearing about in the media were when the fatwa was announced against Salman Rushdie, and the Italian translator was killed, and the Japanese translator was maimed for life. Those were sort of the two high points of international media attention to translators. And we thought, in a sense, we'd like to encourage more people to do translating. How to do that, how to find somebody or decide who that person should be. And what we agreed with the department was we would take what we thought was the best final year translation. When we choose who we think is best, that person then gets a flight to Frankfurt and back, board and lodging for a week, and the dubious privilege of being my employee, as it were, for that week. I have a small translation company, and that person then does a whole range of texts. Art texts, design texts, history texts, business texts. And I think probably it's quite a shock at first. What it actually like is a real life text that you've got only 2 hours to do or whatever, rather than any amount of time in the library to look up. But we're going to have a couple of questions with two of the winners later. Sarah, how daunting was that first week?
Well, considering university is completely different to working in the real world, it was very daunting. You were thrown into the deep end, so to speak. You gain a completely new perspective, and at the end, it's a very positive experience. You learn a lot, and basically sink or swim.
Sophie, you've finished teacher training now. Was it worse coming into the office the first day or going to a classroom the first day?
Well, actually, I was quite surprised at how, when I did the translation experience for a week, that I didn't really think that Jeremy would actually use my translations, but in fact, throughout the whole week, I was treated as a professional, and my thoughts and views on how the translation should come about were taken on board, and we actually had I felt a professional dialogue between us when we were discussing over coffee in Starbucks.
Sarah, Sophie, Gillian, Amy, who's still in Germany. You all did a great job.